post All-Star Break edition of
The Steam Room.
Charles Barkley and Ernie Johnson, thanks for being with us, you loyal steamers. Good to be back in Atlanta.
It
after, is. After 5 days in Salt Lake City we were out there?
Shout out to all the people in Salt Lake City. They had Chamber of Commerce weather. We got lucky weather-wise.
Yeah, it was cold, but it wasn't.
Yeah, but now all hell's breaking
the
loose.
The day after we left.
I know.
Remember, what, 2 feet?
Yeah, that's right.
Something like that.
So shout out to Salt Lake City.
Speaking of that, here on the table, take a look at these Chuckster. Shout out to Rachel from Salt Lake City, who's a loyal steamer and who is a big fan of our show on TNT.
Clearly, she's a fan of yours.
Well,
I mean, I got Elevator Ernie Johnson. I got EJ's Neo Stat.
Yeah.
I got
a couple of them may have been eaten.
A bow tie.
Yeah.
I got this Georgia crap.
Yeah. Did you see the check? She's a loyal viewer, and she remembers the Jussie Smollett situation. And what was your advice?
Don't write a check.
Yeah, well, look at the check.
I love it.
To
the muggers.
To the muggers.
Keep your towel on. Oh, she's talented, man.
Yeah, had those maids specially for us.
What's her name again?
Rachel.
Rachel. Rachel, thank you.
So for the crew, you know, you can dive in, eat some of these great cookies.
Thank you, Rachel. That was very kind.
It was very sweet.
And we all doing the first of all.
One more thing.
Uh-oh.
How about this?
Evolution of Excellence? Is that the Kareem jacket?
A gift from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Is that from you?
It's for me. Yeah, we all got them. Yeah. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, that's nice.
Sweet.
That's going to be a nice addition. I like that.
Oh, I like it a lot.
Thank you, Kareem.
Thanks, Kareem. Great. So it's always fun to come back from All-Star and then show off stuff that we may have gotten. But that's cool.
It was a great weekend.
It was. So, first of all, there's some stuff for you to dive into here.
There's a lot going on.
You got your sheet? Got your notes?
I got my notes.
Okay.
First of all, I want to thank every single person who sent me a text. I haven't gotten back to everybody, so don't take it personally. But thanks to everybody who sent me a text.
On your 60th birthday?
The big 6-0.
How's it feel there, Biggin?
It feels great, brother.
I know.
60. Well,
I've been there.
Shout out to my daughter. All I wanted to do was spend the day with my grandson. She let me have the little man, and it was a perfect day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you're having another one, right?
Yeah, she's pregnant again.
Yeah.
They're getting it in.
Because
Henry's like 10, 11 months, and she's like 5 months pregnant. I mean, damn. Take a night off, y'all. Take a night off.
Hey, shout out to my son, Eric, too, because he and Quinn just had their third child, our fifth grandchild, little Adler, little boy.
Adler,
yeah.
I like
and
that.
He's awesome.
Adler.
And, so this grandparent thing just keeps on.
Yeah, it's the greatest
thing. Keeps on going,
you're right,
man.
Honey, you and Clark Kellogg told me it was going to be amazing.
And we were right.
You were right. Not used to saying that. Well, okay, I'm used to saying Ernie's right.
Not often, but go ahead.
So I want to give a couple of condolences. Two people, one is a friend of mine, Howard Bragman. You might not know the name, but if you're in Hollywood circles, he was kind of a crisis guy for Hollywood types. And I met him a few years ago and stayed in contact with him, and he passed away last week or so. And he was one of the nicest guys that I'd met. We weren't extremely close, but I consider him a friend. We talked occasionally.
Excuse my asking, but what is a Hollywood crisis guy?
Like when a celebrity get in trouble.
Okay.
He helps you navigate, like, this is what we should do. This is what we shouldn't do.
I got you.
And I met him, and man, he was fabulous. And me and my agent spent some time with him. And shout out to Mark, my agent. And I just wanted to acknowledge his passing. Was just a good dude and going to be missed. And the second one is Red McCombs.
Yeah.
The San Antonio Spurs owner. You know, so interesting. I got a phone call from the Spurs way back when I was playing. Says, Mr. McCombs wanted to say hello to you. I'm like, sure. And he pulled me aside. He said, I just want to tell you, I'm a big fan. I love watching you play. And I was like, what? I thought it was something serious. He said, no, I just wanted to acknowledge you, how great of a player you are. You seem like a nice guy. And
always nice to have something like that from one of your peers, but somebody from another organization.
Yes. So shout out to the McCombs family. He lived a great long life. I think he said he was 94, 95. And I just want to acknowledge those two guys. Howard, rest in peace. Mr. McCombs, rest in peace. So this next thing is really been bugging me, the Tiger Woods situation. You know, Tiger to me is the greatest golfer ever. Shout out to Jack Nicklaus, who is right there. Nothing but love and respect for Jack Nicklaus. But in my opinion, just my opinion, Tiger's the GOAT. But I was deeply disturbed how people overreacted to the tampon joke situation.
When he handed it
to Justin Thomas as a joke.
Secretly. I mean, yeah.
And
after he had outdriven JT.
I'm disgusted that he apologized. I'm not going to lie. These people, and you know who you are, these people who all of a sudden want to try to counsel. I ain't never tried to counsel anybody. If somebody make a mistake, apologize, keep it moving. But I don't know where we got to the point where we can't even tell jokes anymore. And I'm not going to let that happen on my watch and just sit back idle by and let people do that. So, Tiger, you're the GOAT. You should not have apologized. And for you big mouth people out there, if y'all want to get mad about something, get mad about the lack of black coaches in the NFL. Now, I'm getting a little tired of talking about this every year. Not 1 year, not 2 years. We talk about it every single year. Listen, I'm not even going to beg. I'm just saying, do the right thing. Give some of these coaches a chance. Steve Wilkes should have kept the job in Carolina. He went 6-6 after Matt Rhule got fired.
I have a question for you.
Sure, brother.
What is it about Eric Bieniemy that is holding him back from a head coaching job? Why does he have to take a lateral move to the Commanders as an offensive coordinator and assistant head coach when everyone looks at his resume and says, this guy should be a head coach in the NFL?
Ernie, talking to all the black coaches, which I do quite a bit, there's no rhyme or reason.
So that nobody you talk to has an answer
for
this.
There's no answer whatsoever. But not just him. I mean, he's won two out of the last four Super Bowls, been to five straight AFC championship game. He can't get a sniff. And I'm just sick of talking about this subject because there's no reason, there's no good reason Eric Bieniemy shouldn't have a job. Steve Wilkes, Raheem Morris, who won the Super Bowl last year as the defensive coordinator with the Rams. He didn't even get a sniff of a head coaching job. We obviously know the situation with Brian Flores. You know, he just took the job in Minnesota. But, man, if you – these people going to go off on Tiger on something that's insignificant and just a joke. And like I say, just a joke. And like I say, Tiger, you should not have apologized. But if you big mouth people are offended about something – be offended about stuff that's really important. That's just my opinion.
I don't have a problem with Tiger apologizing. I don't know that it was totally necessary, but it's brought up to him and he's like, oh, okay. But it was one of, you know, if you were offended, then I'm sorry about it.
Well, Ernie, people are offended about everything.
I know they are. And my point is, look, we know there are cameras everywhere. We know there are microphones everywhere. If Tiger was walking up the fairway with Justin Thomas, you know, unleashing some diatribe against women in sports, then it would be like, hey, you got to answer for this. But we're living in this age now where you and I can't have a joke.
I know.
You know, it's like, look, everybody in the world knows. And men on their tour hit the ball farther than women on their tour. That is the crux of a joke. From Tiger to Justin Thomas, and really, are we to that point where
you can't joke at all?
Where that has to be, hey, we got to make this. This is going to be a story when we have all this other stuff going on around us. That's kind of like
that's what bothers me the most.
Yeah,
what bothers me the most.
Because when you say, well, look at the shooting at Michigan State.
Oh my goodness!
Look at the situation at Alabama. And it's like, do we really want to spend all this energy on Tiger's stupid joke to Justin Thomas?
Yes. So, you know, Ernie, I'm finna get uncomfortable right now. In my 23 years on television and even on our podcast, I always try to be honest and I always try to be fair. That does not mean I'm right all the time. But man, I'm really uncomfortable about the Alabama situation. You know,
why are you uncomfortable? I mean, are you uncomfortable as an Auburn guy talking about an Alabama situation?
Young kids. First of all, you know, there's some fool who listened to the podcast because I've said before, Alabama's the best team in the country. Houston's the second best team. Those are the two best teams. I said that 2 months ago. I said, Alabama's the best team I've seen play. Houston probably the second best team I've seen play. Haven't changed the opinion on it at all. But there's some fool going to say, yeah, Charles don't want this. Charles going at this kid because he went to Auburn. First of all, it has nothing to do with it. A young lady lost her life.
Yeah, let's fill in a couple of blanks too. For folks who don't, who are saying, what are they talking about in the Alabama situation? Darius Miles, Alabama basketball player, kicked off the team. And he and a man named Michael Davis could face capital murder charges in the death of Jamia Harris over a shooting on the Alabama campus where she was visiting a friend. She is a mother of a 5-year-old. She was shot. And according to the court transcripts, Darius Miles, the Alabama basketball player, had given the gun to Michael Davis. And then it comes out that Darius Miles had gotten the gun from Brandon Miller, probably the best freshman in the country.
He's the best freshman. And right now, he's going in the top 5 of the NBA draft.
Yeah.
So that's
all the background. And that's led to this week, Nate Oates, their head coach, talking about the situation and then he had to go back and apologize because it came out so badly.
Yes.
And especially the phrase, well, Brandon Miller, wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah. My uncomfortable is trying to play God, judge, and jury when you have a platform. If that kid.
Which kid?
Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the best freshman.
On the team that is a favorite to win the whole thing this year.
Yes. If that kid, Brandon, who's, like I say, I personally think he's the best player in the country. That's my opinion. If that kid gave that other kid the gun, I don't know if we can let him play. I hate saying that, but if that kid gave that, and listen, I've discussed this with my friends. I says, if a friend of mine came and asked me for a gun, I said, dude, what you need a gun for? Like, I wouldn't just give a person a gun because they asked me for a gun. Like, that's a real thing. And like I say, I'm uncomfortable saying this. I don't know if we can let him play.
I see what you're saying, Chuck. Yeah. Because, look, if I'm the AD at Alabama, if I'm the athletics director, and this is going on in my program, and I know there were no criminal charges against Brandon Miller. And as it's explained, there's nothing he could be charged with according to Alabama law. But at the same time, a story of this magnitude, don't you need to step back? Don't you need to say, look, we're going to dig into this. And in the meantime, he's not playing.
Yeah.
But apparently that was not the direction they chose to go.
Yeah, it's a tough one, man, because, man, this young lady's dead. And I don't understand the stupidity of how if what they said is true. I read what the girl's mother said.
That right.
It started because the guy tried to go out with her and she said no.
She wasn't interested.
And I want to know how you get from, I don't want to go on a date with you, to dead. Like, And like I said a couple months ago, man, these young kids, man, when y'all make decisions, they're really, really life altering.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. It was the thought, and then the where can I get a gun? I can get you a gun. I mean, there's all that time to say, is this really what we want to do? Yeah. You know,
yeah.
It's like, man, and so this is all according to what we've read and what we're here, you know, what we've heard, published reports, and
it's just wrong
It's tragic she lost her life, and your thoughts, your prayers go out to her family. It's a senseless loss.
Yes.
And
then this kid has ruined his life.
Yeah.
He's going to jail forever. And now Brandon's going to have to, like, yo, man, you got to say something. To me, he has to say, hey, you know what? I was wrong, or I didn't do it. I did not give him a gun. Or he got to say, hey, you know what? I take full responsibility. I need to take a step back and look at myself. I mean, I just feel such sadness because this kid is such a spectacular player. But if he did do that, that's one of the stupidest things I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. Regrettable all around.
Yes.
That's for sure. That's for sure. What else you got on that sheet of paper?
That's it, brother.
I think that's enough.
That's enough.
Yeah, that's
man.
That's more
we're supposed to be having fun.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this: we will be having fun today. We do not have a guest on this show, but you know what? We do have still to come in just a bit. The largest Chuck's answering machine segment ever, says Michael Kaplan, our producer. We've never had so many calls, and there's a special surprise at the very end of the podcast.
Uh-oh.
Is that a tease?
Let's do it.
Is that a tease?
Thank you, Rachel, for the cookies.
Yeah, they're awesome. Legendary, legendary. Tim Kiley's in the house.
Keep your towel on.
In the steam room.
I'm going to let him call you a legend today.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for my birthday gift.
You're welcome. I hope that maybe we'll have a little toot after the show tonight. You're ready for that.
What'd you get him?
It's a year.
1942 tequila.
It's a year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a year, Ernie.
Wasn't a gram of anything.
Is it?
I was a little concerned there, legend.
I have my
great
hand.
To have you with us, and you know what? He's going to be back in the chair tonight,
yes,
doing the show, doing Inside the
you
NBA.
Are?
Yeah.
Oh man,
must be nice to work when you want to.
It is.
Well, you know, the young guys take a day off.
Yeah.
The old fart has to work.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, brother,
Chuck. I have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
And it concerns your earlier comments about Salt Lake City and how nice they were and how great the weather was.
Yes.
When in fact you killed Salt Lake City for its quote lack of fun.
And
Shaq commented that he's never hating so much room service in his life. Now we have a tweet.
Uh-oh.
Just wait. We have a tweet from owner Ryan Smith of the Jazz. He jabbed back. Charles lives in a hotel and orders room service three times a day. Two-part question. Your real take on Salt Lake, and what are you ordering in room service?
First of all, I did not order room service one time.
Shaq said he did a lot of room service.
I enjoyed Salt Lake City. I was saying there was not a lot of alcohol flowing. That's all I said.
Can't you have fun without alcohol, Charles?
That'd be a hard no. That'd be a hard damn no. That'd be a hard no.
Man.
And I said, Shaq was upset because they didn't have hookah. Because he loves hookah.
I thought he brought his own.
He can't get that much. But I actually love Salt Lake City. Our hotel was fabulous.
Had a great time.
The weather was fabulous. I was just joking. I'm saying first of all, I said all the people that are going to heaven.
I know. I heard it.
Why can't they take it as a compliment?
Well, some people are thin-skinned.
Ryan, stop it, man. I had a great time in your city.
Great. It was great. Yeah. Spending a little time with Ryan Smith, too.
Yes.
And I think he was joking.
And I'm not a big room service guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I have to ask both you guys your thoughts on this situation. What's up with Aaron Rodgers? I believe he's still in his four-day hiding in a cave. Have you heard this, Ernie?
You're going to have to enlighten me.
Yeah, he does this dark thing where he goes in darkness for like a long period of time to get clarity in his life.
I like Aaron Rodgers. You can call that different or eccentric or whatever, but
yeah,
hanging out with him a little bit at the match last year. Yeah, had a great time with Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know him that well. He's always been cordial.
There are a lot of people in that I wish would go spend 4 days in a in the dark somewhere.
Yeah, but I will say this: as a fan of the Packers or an executive of the Packers, I don't think he's fair to them. You know, Ernie, the fans, they love their team. They want to know who's going to be on their team. Blah, blah, blah. But as far as an executive, you can't act like you're going to come go play, not play all the time. It's not fair to the rest of the players. He has to build a team. I understand the frustration with the Green Bay Packers. I'm like, yo, man, we love you. You're a great player. But
we need to know something.
We need to know something as soon as possible. I mean, that's exactly what happened with Devontae Adams. He's like, yo, I can't wait on this dude. Arguably the best receiver in football says, this dude, I don't know if he's going to play this year or next year. So I can understand the frustration from the Green Bay Packers.
Do you think you could go sit in a cave for 4 days?
Hell no.
How long could you last in a dark cave?
Great question, Ernie.
Probably two hours.
I bet you couldn't last 2 hours in a dark cave.
Well, first of all, why in the hell am I in a dark cave?
Doing some thinking.
You've already
been alone with your thoughts. So you don't have enough thoughts to be in there for two hours.
You lasted a whole night in jail.
I was only in there like 8 hours. That seemed like an eternity.
Oh, all right.
And you had a cellmate.
No, I didn't. No, oh, no, didn't? No. That was not. No. I did not have a cellmate. Nice try, Ernie. Nice try. I did America, Ernie's trying to shade me. I did not. I was in this by cell by myself.
Which time? Every time?
Every time. Every time.
All right, last thing. I understand that we're about to hit the longest answering machine segment in the history of the show. But
yeah.
I have an answering machine, if you guys wouldn't mind. This is for you guys to listen and answer. So, Cap, roll the tape.
Hey, how's it going, Ernie? How's it going, Charles? Loyal Steamer here from Chicago, Illinois. My name is Teddy. Question for you. I need a good laugh this afternoon. After the commercial break happens on Inside the NBA, I would love to hear one of the most hilarious stories that you have. Has there ever been a cut to commercial where you, Shaq, and the Jet have had just phenomenal interaction, something hilarious behind the scenes that we've never seen? I would love to just be cheered up on this day. Thank you, guys.
Well, I know where I'm going, but I'm not going there.
Hey,
most of them involve Shaq.
Yeah.
Well, stories from his past.
Yeah. Well, the thing is really for Ernie, it's hilarious behind the scenes. And be honest with you, Ernie's clean cut. But half the stuff that me and Shaq say, we can't say on the podcast. We can't even say it on True TV.
You can't even say it in the hallway. You can't even say it if you're sitting in a cave by yourself.
That's exactly right. But, man, it is so much fun to be at work because, first of all, we have a bunch of games on. So it's stupid stuff happening in other games. But I will tell you this. It's hilarious behind the scenes. The green room is hilarious. Watching Shaq do his thing is incredible. But I'm just telling you, man, we can't tell you not even half the stuff.
No, I mean, it's a great question.
Great question.
But it's unanswerable.
Well, I actually can answer two real quick. The time you messed up Ernie's notes.
Yeah, that was bad.
That
was Kenny's fault.
Move on.
Yeah. That was Kenny's fault.
I know. Move on. I don't like to think about that.
The other one was, which is one of my favorite of all time, and where I think we excel is when something does happen in between commercials, we show it right out of the break. Mm-hmm. Ernie always says, just a moment ago, this happened, and Charles got a cramp.
Oh, and, yeah. And oh, my goodness.
This is not the Shaq cramp.
That, I do
the
remember
Kenny,
that.
The Kenny cramp, when you cramped up, and Kenny said, grab your upper lip, it'll go away.
Yeah, squeeze your upper lip, squeeze your upper lip. And there you are, with one hand on a hand.
You couldn't squeeze your other lip. One.
Oh, well, you, one actually just happened recently. Shaq thinks he's got the best body in the world, so he's always walking around half naked. So about 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, he runs up behind me almost naked. And he says, yo, man, we got like 12 million hits. And what happened was, I didn't know he had the camera rolling, and everybody in the room fell out laughing. This dude running up behind me half naked. Don't be running up behind me naked with your big old ass.
World's largest 12-year-old.
Like, I said, yo, man, put some clothes on if you're going to walk up behind me like that. So stuff like that happens all the time.
Perhaps Shaq could consider 4 days in a cave.
That would be.
That would be.
Without hookah? If you get
if he had hookah, it'd be 8 days in a cave.
We'd never see him again.
Yeah, he'd dig exactly. his way to China.
That's exactly right. If he could smoke hookah in a cave and not be bothered, we would never see him.
All right, legend. That was awesome. You got anything else for us?
No, just can't wait to hear the longest answering machine thing. This should be good.
I can't wait either. Way I think to make it's going to be do outstanding. Some work.
That's it.
And it's also going to have a special guest appearance. Uh-oh. Not an interview, but a surprise for you, Charles.
That's like a cameo, Arnie, to make a movie.
Yeah, cameo. It would be a cameo.
Well, you're already getting ready for tonight.
I'm ready.
All right. The world's longest Chuck's answering machine segment coming up next on the Steam Room.
Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Come and join us in Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Leave your towel on in Steam Room.
Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Leave your towel on in the Steam Room.
You enjoy the way you sing that. When you sing along with you singing along.
You know, it's just, I told you, that's why they call me Old Brown Eyes.
I know it is. I know it is. So, as we hyped earlier,
I'm so glad we got
it. What follows here is the largest Chuck's answering machine segment in the history of the segment. And this is season 4 of the Steam Room.
Damn. So, what did the 4 years go?
Oh, I don't know. The days don't walk, they run, Chuckster.
Oh, my goodness. Put that on a card, Hallmark card.
In the immortal words of Chris Smither, great blues guitarist, been around a while and I just recently stumbled onto his music, and he is outstanding. Chris Smither. Hey, enough about all this. What do you say we jump into some of these phone calls? And at 404-987-0334. How long have we been doing this? 404-987-0330. Call number one.
Hello, world. This is Charles Barkley. Leave me a message.
Hi, fellas. Stav here, original loyal steamer from Australia. Charles, I'm calling to wish you all the best on your 60th birthday, or chronia bolla, as we say in Greek. Every year for my birthday, I don't get gifts because I don't need them. But my wife, the sweetheart that she is, makes me a pavlova every year. Delicious, or more accurately, a stavlova, as she calls it. Chuck, I know you don't care much for gifts at your age either, but I'm curious, as you look ahead to your grandson Henry's first birthday, what are you thinking of getting the little guy? Happy birthday, mate.
Stav is always...
He's great.
Yeah. I think Chuck's answering machine must be like on speed dial from him from Australia.
No, but I think he was our first caller. He's the best.
Yeah, I think he was the first loyal steamer.
And as I'm dehydrated here...
He's still begging for that Aussie beer.
He's been bragging about that beer for 4 years. I mean, the pandemic is over, technically.
It's a supply chain issue.
Okay. I had this.
What's the best thing you got for your birthday, by the way?
The best thing, I got to spend a half a day with my little man.
Okay. So what are you going to get him for his first birthday, which comes up when?
March. It's in the middle of March Madness.
Okay.
I think he was born, because I was in Vermont And I went straight down, either the first week or second week to start March Madness. So coming up.
Okay.
I'm probably not going to get him anything.
Like Christmas. You're treating his birthday like Christmas. Well, you said he shouldn't get anything.
He's too young to understand gifts at this moment. So I'm probably just going to put some more money into his college tuition. Because it's going to be like $1 million by the time that he goes to college. So, like, but my thing is, for Christmas, he spent more time looking at the wrapping paper than he did the gifts. So I'm like, at one, he's not going to be the same either. So
You're underselling that a little bit.
Well, because, you know, you got
1 year olds, they love the cake. They love to play in the cake.
Yeah,
they love
cake is not a gift. Play with stuff.
Right, so kids a year old or under should not be given toys to play with?
A toy, one or two yeah. little things, but don't give them like a bunch of things. Number one, you know, like if somebody gets you a bunch of stuff, you're going to fall in love with one gift. So I'm probably just going to get some money toward his tuition. You know, because I don't know if he's going to have the grades to go to Auburn.
A little early to know at this point.
Yes. His mom and dad are smart, though, but I can pull some strings to get him into Auburn.
All right.
Yes.
All right, Grandpa. Well done. Right. Next call.
Hey, Ernie and Chuck. Loyal Steamer from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Question for Chuck. What is the weirdest gift that you received? We all remember the infamous Loci bracelet from the steam room, but is there anything else that's weird or memorable that stood out to you? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
This is a much bigger picture. This is the greatest gift of all time. Doesn't have to be for a specific.
Well, you know, I got great friends. Most of my friends actually just give me watches because I collect watches. I got like 120 watches.
Mm-hmm.
So watches always work for me. You know, my mother and grandmother both have passed away. They always get me like drawers and socks.
Yeah, we already know the drawers story.
Yeah, don't wear drawers. The socks are actually not bad. I don't wear a cologne. You wear cologne?
No.
Okay. Yeah, it's always weird. Like, a couple of times people giving me cologne. I've never worn cologne in my life.
And you never wear sunglasses either.
I do not wear sunglasses. Yeah, I do not. But I tell you what, though, I'm hitting that ball right now.
Oh, good.
I whooped the hell out of Roy this week.
Did you really?
Oh, it wasn't even close. He was dormant by like 13.
I would think that would be probably some of the best gifts you've ever gotten, stuff that's golf-related, like probably manufacturers have given you sticks.
The sticks, like I'm sticking with my sticks I'm using now. I'm a ping guy now. I'm repping
love
ping. The balls are always good. You can't ever go wrong with those Pro Vs.
Pro V1, Pro V1X.
It doesn't matter. I'm not good enough to know the difference.
Yeah.
So, but
they
all
look alike in the woods to me.
That's exactly right. But yeah, but man, it was a really cool thing. I got some really nice stuff, but nothing spectacular.
All right. Next call.
Hi, Chuck. Hi, Ernie. Veronica from Phoenix, longtime femur. Chuck, I just watched the movie Whiplash over the weekend, and I see now why Ernie wants you to watch the movie. You can totally relate to the main character as an elite athlete and being pushed to the edge by an instructor, maybe a coach. Great recommendation, Ernie. I highly recommend it to everyone out there. Question for Chuck. Chuck, I Googled the Black Masters 2023. That is on my bucket list, and I don't see a date. Do you have a date yet, and do you have a list of players that are signed up to play? Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Ernie.
Not yet. We always kind of wait and see how the playoff schedule shakes out because that's the time to do it sometime in April, usually on a Thursday because we will have worked the day before. So a Thursday or a Friday in late April before we go on the road.
Yep.
And I know Grant Hill, I saw Grant the other day. He says, pencil me in for the Black Masters. I want to be there. And it will be, we know it'll be at beautiful Chateau Elan. Yes, we do.
Let me just say this. The only thing I care about is Grant Hill and Steve Smith. Chico's a coward. Chico not going to be here. He's a coward. But let me tell you something. Grant Hill and Steve Smith, I hate those two dudes, man. They talk so much.
Be nice, man.
Dude, I'm telling you, they send me videos of their swing all the time.
Yeah.
Grant is a range warrior. He's always on the range. He never sends me pictures from the golf course. But I hate both of those guys. They send me pictures and talk trash all the time. Ernie. I'm not afraid of those two dudes at all. I'm going to beat them down. I'm playing great.
I know you are. Yeah, I've been spreading that news to everybody who asks, you know, because some folks are still under the impression that you're doing all that wacky stuff you used to do and couldn't get the ball around the golf course. And I said, no, things have changed. The guy plays every day. His game is back. And I'm happy to see it because I know you love the game and it's a lot more fun when you're keeping it in play.
Yes.
But there is a strange phenomenon, Chuckster. And I bet you've had it at some point in your golf career too, where something happens in between that drive and range and that first tee. Something falls out of the cart. I don't know what it is. Where you're out there, you're striping it, and it's like, man, my swing is good today. I cannot wait to play. Yeah. And then, boo, and it's like, how did that happen? I didn't hit one ball like that on the range, and here on the first tee, there it is.
There's a couple of things that Stan Utley, my teacher, he made me start playing golf more. I was scared to play golf. Like, I'd go to the range for 5 or 6 hours and just hit balls, just bang balls. And he'd be like, Chuck, are you scared to play golf? I said, no. He says, well, why do you practice so much and not go play? And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But I figured out I was scared to play.
Yeah.
So one of the first things he did to me is, no, we're going to go on the golf course.
And does he suggest, hey, we're going on the golf course and you're going to play with other guys?
Yes.
Because part of the thing is, man, I don't want these guys can all play and I'm going to drag everybody down.
Go back to the range thing you're talking about. When I go to the range now, I practice a lot less and play more. But I pick out targets on the range. Mm-hmm. He said, don't just go to the range and just hit it.
There's got
to
be a purpose behind every swing.
Yes. And
I'm going to hit the guy in the cart.
Oh, I love aiming at the guy in the buggy. I love that. But he said, hey, pick out targets, man. Don't just be hitting at the world. And so a couple things that simple. He said, you got to go on the golf course. So he's been great in that aspect.
All right. That's probably more golf talk than we thought we were going to have. But here's the next call.
Hey, y'all. Longtime listener. Loyal steamer.
That sounds like my son, Eric.
Two-time Black Masters champion.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm calling here, thinking about the most important dates in my life, my wedding, the birth of my three children, and my two Black Masters championships. Hope you guys are doing well, and I can't wait to claim my third.
Yeah.
Okay, Tiger.
Yeah, how about Eric? He teamed up with you for one of those.
Yes. Eric can play.
Yeah, he can.
I think the ace in the hole for me this year is going to be Lil Adler. He can't be getting out on the golf course a lot with three kids. Lil Adler.
That is an excellent point. Fatherhood does have a way of making your handicap rise.
You know, I'm worried about my daughter, to be honest with you, Ernie, because – you know, one kid is a real deal. Two babies got to be a real hard thing. I can't imagine three with Eric. But, man, when she's going to have one that's like a year old and the other one's like 1 or 2 months, man, that's going to be a handful. I mean, man, I can't imagine that.
Got to have a strong husband.
Three.
Ilya, pressure's on, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You got to deliver.
Man, he got three.
Yeah.
Dang.
I had six, dude. It's doable.
It was doable because you were always working. Cheryl Ann's the same.
Oh, come on.
Cheryl Ann's the same.
Don't paint me as some absentee father.
I didn't say you were an absentee father.
Come on, man.
Ernie, you've been working a lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, Cheryl Ann and I, we're a great team.
Yeah. Yeah, she's the best player on the team.
She is.
Okay.
Well, I will agree with you 1,000% on that. No, she is. No,
but man, I can't imagine having being a mom is a real deal.
Yeah, and it's going to be great. It's going to be tremendous.
Yes.
So look at it on the positive, yeah. Chuckster. Next call.
So, Charles, I just had a quick question. Does a straw have two holes or one hole? Let me know.
Does a straw have one hole or two holes? It's got two. Oh, no, it's just one continuous hole.
You know, because, when we're in Utah, I went to this J-Dog's place.
Yeah, you had a hot dog appearance.
Yes, me, AJ Wilson, and Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
For Ruffles.
For your hot dog flavored Ruffles potato chips.
Yes, which, man, that J-Dawg's place got some serious stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
They had the raw onions. They didn't have the chili. They had the raw onions. Because, you know, I'm a raw chili, raw onions and chili dog person. Those hot dogs look so good. And you can tell they know what they're doing, too, because they cut the hot dog. Uh-huh. See, that's one of
the
secrets.
Cut the hot dog?
Oh, yeah. You just put little slices in it. If you're going to have hot dogs, don't just cook a hot dog without cutting holes in it. Oh,
the diagonal little...
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And that's when I knew, like, yeah, they know how to cook hot dogs.
Well, these are professional hot dog guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
These are professional hot dogs, because I'm a professional hot dog eater.
Right.
These people are professional hot dog cookers.
Yeah.
But we had a great time with Jason and Asia.
Get to the answer to the question. How many holes does a straw have?
Well, because the reason I went to J-Dawg's is somebody asked me, is a hot dog a sandwich?
No, it's a hot dog.
Okay, so that's kind of the straw question. That's my answer right there. I'm not sure how to answer that question. Is it one hole or two holes? Is a hot dog a sandwich? Those are one of those things you're like, oh, that's an interesting question. So you said,
so what's the answer? I would say it's got two holes. It's got one on the top and one on the bottom.
Yes, I would say a straw has two holes.
And if it's got three, you got a problem.
I still don't understand why you don't think a hot dog is a sandwich.
Because there are sandwiches, and then there's a hot dog. Hot dog comes in one piece of bread. Sandwich is two pieces of bread.
Oh, that's your criteria?
Yeah.
Two pieces of bread makes it a sandwich.
With stuff in between the two pieces of bread. Hot dog? It's hot dog bun.
So what about an Italian hoagie?
Hoagie. That's one piece of bread.
See, man. See, now you got me confused.
Wow. Is that hard to do? Next call.
Hey, Charles. This is Kendra Bennekin out of Kansas City. I just want to remind you that the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. I remember that you placed a bet on the Eagles. Sorry about that. Also, just wondering if you had any advice for number 87, Travis Kelce, as he hosts Saturday Night Live. You were a pretty good host of that show, so maybe you had some tips for him? Thanks.
I'm glad she called because you owe me $100, but go ahead.
Yeah, I do owe you $100. Make sure I pay you next week. Number one, I did bet on the Eagles.
And how painful was that for you?
Really painful.
How painful?
Really painful. Because I was doing well in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And then I went for it.
So as well as you were, did this negate how well you were doing? Over the edge?
No, I actually ended up winning. I went nuclear, though, trying to triple up, quadruple my winnings.
Greedy.
I was greedy.
Greedy.
But I want to give a shout out to my Eagles and just tell them, man, I'm proud of them. Jalen Hurts, Fletcher, you know, Nico Sirianni, you know, they had a great year.
What's your advice for Travis Kelce?
Well, number one, I want to congratulate Travis and Patrick and the coach. And I know Andy Reid and Patrick. I don't know Patrick that well, but I know Travis well and his brother Jason, who I hope Jason comes back. I know he's thinking about retiring, but man, hey, you can retire forever, but you only get to be a great player for a short period of time. Saturday Night Live is one of the greatest experiences of my life, but man, it is hard.
It's not just show up Saturday night and do a show.
No, it's a lot of work.
It's all week. You're taping stuff, sometimes going off location to shoot stuff. Too.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so let me give you a quick synopsis. So
I don't know that I've ever heard you say synopsis.
I don't think I did. So you show up Monday. You show up Monday, and they put you in a room with 30 writers and all the actors.
That must be cool.
It is pretty cool, some of the crazy things, ideas. So everybody throws about 3 or 4 ideas at you. That takes about 5 hours. Because I say yes to everything. Like a writer say, hey, you got this? I say, yeah, yes. Tuesday, they have to have them written. They have to have a script and everything. And y'all just sit at a table with the actors who are going to be in the spot. Y'all read it.
Table read.
That takes about 6-7 hours.
I bet that's funny, though. I bet you're howling.
It is. So then they kind of make a decision what they like. And starting Wednesday, it's 10 to 12 hours a day of rehearsal.
When's the first time you rehearse your monologue?
I think you start that on Thursday.
Okay.
But you're there 10, 12 hours every day from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And on Saturday, you go in like 9 o'clock in the morning. You rehearse to like 3 or 4. Then you have to do a show.
Yeah, it's. I've heard that. Yeah. I mean, you're actually doing the show,
yes.
But it's nobody, only the audience there sees it.
Yes, but you do like 5 or 6 or 7 extra scripts.
And then some of those are going to get cut for the actual show.
Well, a lot of them are going to get cut because the regular show is like really condensed. So you do like, that show lasts like 2 or 3 hours. Then it's like an hour and a half break where y'all all get together. And I guess they got people looking at the audience and things like that. And they figure out what the people laugh at the most.
Yeah.
But they kick that audience out. And then they bring another audience in, the one that you do live on television.
Right.
But man, the toughest thing is they keep changing throughout the week. And there's a couple times you have like 2 minutes to get dressed. So they take you behind this wall. And 4 random strange-ass women snatch your clothes off. You're standing there with just your drawers on.
But for you.
No, I had to buy drawers for that week, that one week.
Oh, okay. So that's the one exception. You do wear drawers when you do SNL.
Yes. So the thing is funny. You have like 2 minutes because when you have a quick change, they Velcro everything.
Right, right.
So they snatch it off. They're like, 1 minute. 45, and they're snapping the Velcro back on, and they're like, and sometimes you get out there with like 3 to 5 seconds to go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great week, but it is hectic.
How good's the after party?
The after party is awesome because I think everybody's totally exhausted, and you know you got to, you just go for it. I mean, because like I say, it's a great week, but it's a long week. But man, it's an honor and a privilege.
That's some excellent insight into the
just be ready.
A peek behind the curtain of Saturday Night
Live. I remember talking to J.J. Watt about it. He says, man, that was the longest week of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to the great J.J. Watt, too.
Next call.
Charles, we want to know, what are your favorite animals? If you could only spend, you know, like, let's say 1 weekend a month with animals, which animals would you like to hang out with?
I love Thanks. Questions like that.
Well, you know, for me, it would always be little dogs. I don't like big dogs, but I like little dogs. I miss my little dogs.
Yeah, I know you do.
I miss Mango and Yoo-Hoo. You know, it's interesting.
Do you have dogs now?
No.
You're not going to replace?
I don't. You know, that's a dilemma. I was really down and depressed when I had to put those dogs down.
I know you were.
So, you know, I don't know if I don't want to repeat that cycle. Like, it was really, like, and I'm not an emotional guy like that, but, man, it really hurt me. Because, I've been debating, like, you know, cause it's always going to be that same cycle if you keep getting dogs. First of all, you got to get 2 dogs. You can't have 1 dog.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have they got to have somebody to play with. So, as of right now, I would always say dogs, my brother. But I'm not a horse person. The only time I've ever been around horses, I've been shooting commercials. But that's
anything
it.
Less would be uncivilized. Exactly.
That's right.
They're right about this segment. This is a long.
We got some loyal steamers, though.
And we've got one more call.
Hey, Chuck and Ernie. It's Josh from Eugene, Oregon. I've been a loyal steamer, and thanks to you guys for this podcast because it's kept me smiling up and down the road for work. But I had to share a story with you, Chuck. I grew up, even though I live in Eugene, I grew up in Portland. And as a kid, to say we were poor is an understatement. And so even though I was a big basketball fan and a big Trailblazers fan, I never got to attend a game because we couldn't afford it. But in middle school, they had an essay contest, and the winner got a pair of tickets to the Tournament of the Americas to watch the Dream Team play at Memorial Coliseum. And lo and behold, I won. And me and my dad got to go. So my very first basketball team was watching the Dream Team play. And I was so excited. and you guys did pregame warmups. You guys were coming off the court, and me being a big Blazers fan, I was trying to reach out to Clyde Drexler to give me a high five, and I was like, Clyde. And he walked right past me, and you were the player that was right behind him, and you looked at me and said, that was rude, and you high-fived me. And from that day forward, I was the biggest Charles Barkley fan. And to my dad's dismay, I would root for the Trailblazers, but anytime they played a team that you were on, I was rooting for you guys. So I just wanted to thank you, Chuck, for creating a childhood memory that has lasted all the way into my adulthood and a story that I tell forever. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
I love stories like that, Chuckster, so awesome. Because it is. It doesn't take much.
No.
But it leaves an indelible mark on a young fan's life. The fact that you reached out and did that, and he'll never forget it, and he still hasn't forgotten it.
You know what's crazy? You know, I was watching the golf last week, and this kid had a sign. He said, three goals in life. Check, heart transplant. Two, meet Tiger Woods. And I saw his caddy, Joel LaCava, whispered something to him. Somebody had got it on camera. And Tiger went and spoke to the kid. The kid's never going to forget it.
Yeah.
It was so cool for Tiger to do that. And it was awesome. I tell you a funny story about that Tournament of Americas. This one, I knew Michael Jordan was crazy. Michael's the most competitive person I've ever been around in my life. So me, him, Chuck Daly, and David Robinson go play golf one morning. We're playing Puerto Rico that afternoon. And so Chuck says, hey, guys, we played 18. Let's go. Michael said, I'm going to play another 18. Chuck said, we got a game tonight. He says, I'll be good. So we get to the game. This is how crazy Michael is. We get to the game, and he's like, hey, David, you got this guy. Charles, you got this guy. Scotty, you got this guy. Michael, you got this guy. Michael said, no, I got the point guard. He says, what? He says, I got the point guard. He says, you don't want to guard the two guard? Michael's kind of leaning down. Michael looks and says, I said, I got the point guard. He says some shit about me in the newspaper, and I'm going to get him. And we're looking around like, uh-oh, this little kid in trouble.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing how he played 36 holes of golf, and he's guarding this dude like it's game seven. And he's talking, don't you ever say my damn name again. I never want you to hear me. I mean, and he's playing like, it's like, yo, man, we're looking like, I'm looking at Karl Malone. I'm like, yo, man, there's something wrong with this dude. Like, that's how competitive he was. He played 36 holes of golf, and this kid from Puerto Rico.
Does anybody know, or was this a manufactured Michael Jordan thing, like trying to pump himself up?
That's a really good point.
Did anybody see the quote, or was this like, no, he said something once?
Yeah. But when he looked up at Chuck, he said, Chuck, I said, I got, but it was hilarious.
Yeah.
But the way he was guarding this dude, it had to be true, because he's talking the whole time.
Yeah.
But I saw what you said about being a newspaper. Now you got a chance to prove it. And he's doing that drill.
It wasn't me. It was him.
That's exactly right. But yeah, so that term of America's, you know, obviously Portland means a great deal to me because of my affiliation with Nike.
Yeah.
And out in Beaverton. But what's really crazy about it, we talked about it. Remember when Dane Lillard bought me the check?
Mm-hmm.
For my $1,295 that I paid to go to Portland for the summer, because my first preference to get traded was to Portland. Actually, probably 3 years before I got out of Philly. But my first choice, I said, if I can go anywhere, I want to go to Portland, because I thought Portland had the best fans in the NBA. They were amazing fans. But it worked out good. I ended up getting, about 3 years later, I went to the greatest place, Phoenix. Yeah. Oh, you know, the caller earlier, you know, you're talking about Phoenix. Hey, man, I am really pumped for Kevin Durant.
Yeah, let's see it.
It's going to be awesome. I hope he's able to bring them a championship. It'd be great for my city. You know, he's a great, great player. We got Booker. I would love to see Chris Paul wear the championship.
Can't wait to see how this all plays out down the stretch.
This is going to be amazing, the NBA playoffs.
Hey, in the course of this show, we have talked about little Henry, your son.
Yes.
Okay. We have a message from Henry, though not little Henry. Ooh, are you confused? Henry. Video message.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler, and I'm wishing Charles the happiest of birthdays. What a wonderful thing, Charles. You're a writer, Charles Wilson. You're a politician. What a wonderful basketball player and commentator you are, with a great sense of humor. And I'm very proud to wish you the happiest 60th birthday.
Man.
How about that?
That is so cool. You know, he's on my bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
He's on my bucket list. You know what's crazy?
So you've never met?
We've never met. Growing up watching him as the Fonz.
Give me your best Fonz.
Hey.
If that had been actually the Fonz, then Happy Days would have been canceled after 2 weeks.
But you know what's so amazing? I've never heard a bad word about him.
You know what he's great into?
What?
Barry,
yes.
I know you're going to say that. What a great show.
But he's made,
with our buddy Bill Hader.
But I've never heard anybody, because people know that I'm a big fan of his, and it's like, oh, man, he's a great guy. When you get to meet him, you're going to love him. And that was really cool for him to take time to do that.
Yeah. What a great segment that was, Cap. You know what we should do? We should have the world's largest Chuck's Answering Machine segment, and it delivered. So kudos to you, Cap. Excellent selection of calls.
So what's really awesome now, we got the All-Star game behind us.
Yeah, we do.
Now comes the fun part of my life. Because All-Star, once it's over, full steam ahead with March Madness.
Yeah, a couple of weeks of NBA and then March Madness and then the playoffs.
Yes.
Wow.
Hey, I cannot wait, because March Madness, man, nothing can screw up March Madness.
Not even you.
Not even me. It's the greatest thing of the year.
That's another edition of the Steam Room with Charles Barkley and Ernie Johnson.
Thanks to all the calls, Law Steamers.
Yes, we appreciate y'all, and we'll see you next time. Bye.